Jesus would be exalted. And I pray all this in his holy name. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning. My name is Chaplain Danny Malin, and I have the privilege of bringing God's word to you today. And I'm excited about that. And by the way, FBI folks, that's answer number one, Danny Malin. All right, so I tell you what, if you have your Bibles, please take to open them up in the middle, and you'll find the book of Psalms, and then turn over a few chapters to Psalm 37. And we're going to look at that this morning, Psalm 37. And we're going to have that verses 3 through 9. And while you're turning there, if you wouldn't mind, and if you are able, please stand in honor of reading God's holy, perfect, infallible, all-sufficient, plenary word. We'll look at verse number 3. It says in Psalm 37, 3, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways and when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger, verse 8, and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land." Thank you. You may be seated. The passage today is Psalm 37, 3 through 9. That's what we're looking at. Hint, hint, FBI guys. Here we go. So the word we're talking about today is delight. Delight. Sorry, I'm getting the FBI guys in my head. So for those of you who don't know, that's the kids, and a lot of them are in here today, get to fill out a worksheet as they go during the sermon. At the end, they go back and they get to check their answers and get prizes. So it's a really cool thing. So we're glad to have them with us today to do that. But we're working through this devotion, this series we're doing in the small groups, and it's talking about how we can follow God. So today we're talking about delighting in God. So what does it mean then to delight? Well, are there examples in life we can think of things that we delight? I know I can think of several of them. One of them, I love food. I delight in food. Anybody say amen? Amen? Amen. We all like some food. I like some food a lot. If there's one thing I love about food, it's eating it. And when my wife asks me what I like to eat for dinner, I say yes, absolutely. What would I like? Food, please. And so I love food. I also love sports. Anybody like sports? Go Georgia Bulldogs, LSU, I'm sorry. Go Dogs, sick 'em. All right. Anybody else Georgia fans in here? Okay, well, four of us. That's good. It's all right. But the weekend is emotional when it comes to sports because we delight in sports. Sometimes we're not delighting in our team as much this year as maybe last year's or back in the 90s or 70s or whenever the last time our team was good. But we do delight in sports, don't we? They'll be good next year, right? So, and then I delight in exercise. I love to run. I know we have some runners in here, and I know we have some people that like to exercise and like to stay healthy and like to stay fit. But it's because, some of us, though, we like to look in the mirror a little bit too much and say, wow, man, I'm looking pretty good right now. Or we look in the mirror and say, wow, I might actually need to consider doing a little bit more exercise and delighting in that some more. But either way, we have different things in life that we delight, we take pleasure in. The best example, though, that I can think of when it comes to my own personal life of taking delight is my relationship with my wife. I delight in my wife. I love my wife. I cherish her. I enjoy her. I have a great time with her. It brings me peace. It brings me security. And all these things are great. And that's what I do. I delight in my wife. And since the day that we've been married, I've delighted in her. And in fact, before we got married, when I asked her to marry me, I delighted in my wife. And sometimes I combine my delights a little bit too much in life. And for instance, I delighted in my wife and her cooking a little bit too much when we first got married. There were three problems for me when we first got married: fried okra, sweet tea, I'm from Georgia, and peach cobbler. So 30 pounds later, I had to change my delights and get back into shape, right? So sometimes maybe we delight in things a little bit too much. So why is it then? What is it that my wife does for me and I do for her that we delight in each other? What is it about our relationship that brings delight? Are there certain aspects? Are there certain credentials? Are there certain things that happen in our relationship that bring delight? And hopefully in your marriage, you have a delightful marriage or you at least strive toward having it and you enjoy each other. So the things I think that make us delight in areas of life would be that it's attractive to us, right? It seems pleasing to our eyes. It satisfies us. It's filling. It's enjoyable, right? It's fun. It's exciting. It's exhilarating or it's relaxing. It's comforting. It makes us happy, right? When we delight in something, then we just enjoy it. You know, again, in those small groups, we're studying these things throughout the weeks. If you're not part of that, I don't think it's too late. You can jump in and you can get a book from us. We have some supplies. But the Follow Me study that we're doing talks about delighting in God. And so since we're looking at how God delights in us and how we can delight in him, the key verse in this passage here is verse 4. And it says, take delight in the Lord. I'll say that again. Take delight in the Lord. And it doesn't stop there. And he will give you your the desires of your heart. The desires of your heart. And we're going to unpack that passage. And he'll give you the desires of your heart. Your desires will be his desires. And you will delight in him. That's what that verse is telling us. Your desires will be his desires and you will delight in him. Your desires will be him. If you, the desires of your heart are centered towards him, you will desire God and what he wants for your life. David Platt, who wrote this book, says this on page 77 in the workbook. He says, we must seek the kind of happiness and joy that come from truly delighting in Christ and allowing him to change our affections. See, this Christian life is much deeper than just coming to church, much deeper than just walking the walk, but it's truly delighting in God. And he will change the affections of our hearts, and we will delight in him more and more and receive his blessings in his way, in his timing. And so in Psalm 37, 3 through 9, I've looked through this passage several times, and I find four evidences in this passage that to me stand out as evidences of delighting in God. If these four things, or if you delight in God, these four things should be evident in your life. So follow with me this morning. Verse 3 is the first word I see. And the first evidence of delighting in God is trust. Trust. As simple as that. Verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. You know, trusting is sometimes pretty difficult. And a lot of times it has to do with how you were brought up. Maybe it has to do with your situation growing up, if you're easy to trust people. If you've been burned your whole life, or people have stabbed you in the back, or people have lied to you and betrayed you, is it easy to trust? Not at all. It becomes very difficult to trust. If somebody just told you the truth your whole life and life was easy for you and you never had any issues, and you're like, hey, I trust them, then maybe it's easier for you to trust. With God, however, no matter what your past is, or what your future is going to be, you can trust in God. Because he hasn't deceived us. He's never tricked us. He's never betrayed us. He's only been 100% truthful with us because God is truth. Trusting in him is great evidence that you delight in him. Trusting in God is evidence that you delight in him. Without trust, we cannot follow God. Do you know that? Without trust, you can't follow God. So you have to first trust in him. You know, in a marriage relationship, and I'm going to keep going back to a marriage relationship here, we have to have a solid trust relationship with each other. Am I right? We have to have a solid trust relationship. If you don't trust your spouse, there's going to be some hurt, right? And many of us have been in situations like that where maybe our spouse has broken our trust. And it took a while to recover, didn't it? To build that again. Well, guess what? God doesn't break our trust. So we don't have to worry about trying to recover and go back into that. But in our marriage relationship, that trust is so important. If I had not left my boys with my wife when I was deployed and not trusted her to take care of them, I'd have been in a world of hurt, right? I would have been worrying every day, like, are they going to be okay? Are they going to be fine? And I probably would have made her feel really anxious. It would have been a bad situation if I hadn't trusted her to take care of the needs of my four little boys while I was gone on a deployment. And I know a lot of you have been there in that exact situation, right? And so we have to trust our spouse. We have to demonstrate that demonstration of trust shows that we delight in our spouse. That demonstration of trust shows that we have a delight. It says also in that verse 3, it doesn't just say trust in the Lord. It says what? And do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. So do you think perhaps there's a verb followed by another verb? There's the action followed by another action. It says here, I want you to trust. And once you trust, you got to do something about it. Because you know what? If you're just trusting, you can say it. Okay, great. But is there action to back it up? Are you moving with your feet? You're saying it, but are you acting it? So it says, and do good. We must act on our trust. Our action should follow what God asks of us, thus demonstrating our trust in him, which is evidence of our true delight in God. The Israelites knew that David, when he was being hunted down, when Saul was chasing him, and if you know the story, David was supposed to become king, and eventually did become king, and Saul was basically taken from the throne because he did not follow God anymore. And during this time, there were many, many years where David was out in the wilderness being hunted down. And this is what the Israelites, who knew he was following God, said of him. They said, David, he trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he, David, delights in him. Since David is delighting in the Lord, and since the Lord delights in David, may God rescue him. May God take care of him because he's following, because he trusts in the Lord. When we trust in the Lord, it's evidence that we delight in the Lord, and that's what we have to do to follow God. So I want that to be said of me, what was said of David. May that be said of me. And trusting in God with our lives is the first step of faith. So if you delight in God, you will place your full trust in him. The second point I see in this verse, or in this passage, is in verses 5 and 6. And the word is commitment. An evidence that you delight in God, you'll have a commitment, right? So commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and it says this in verse 5, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, and your vindication, your judgment, like the noonday sun. How many of us would say we've been caught in the trap of doing religious chores? Religious chores. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, perhaps it's superficial religion. Maybe we come to church, you know, we're committed to the church, but maybe not to Christ. Maybe we're committed to doing the things that our local church is doing, and we're doing all these things, doing, but, you know, we're not necessarily following Christ or life personally. Maybe we're coming to church every Sunday. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you come on the Wednesday night or the Tuesday night or the Monday night, Sunday night studies. Maybe you're participating in those. Maybe you're even helping when there's a Saturday event work project. And man, you're doing all these good things for the kingdom. But what's your motive? What are we doing these for? And I'm not knocking these. These are great things. I'm very glad you're here today. But why are you here? We all have maybe different reasons, but why are you here today? Did you feel like it was your obligation? Did you maybe want to say, hey, God, I'm pretty holy, or I want you to like me a lot, so I'm going to come to church? Are you here because you desire to have a closer relationship with Christ, because you delight in him, because you're committed to him and doing what he wants you to do? Many Christians read their Bible every day, and you know, they even listen to the Christian radio stations and only have Christian CDs, and these are great things, but what do they do it for? What's the purpose? Is it so that their friends, when they hop in a car and they, you know, the radio comes on, it's not to some radio station you don't want them to hear, or maybe it's not the CD that you don't want them to hear? I mean, what do we do these for? And a lot of us have very, really good reasons. We truly want to delight in God. Or maybe it's because we want to look like we delight in God. Or maybe we want to look like we're good Christians. You know, check your heart. What is your reason? What is your commitment? You know, I remember, and this is a struggle for me to even say this to you today, because I remember when I was a youth pastor for a few years, and I was helping out leading the youth group, and I would tell them, do your Bible studies every day. Dive into God's word. Just meditate on God's word, and journal a little prayer about it. Write something about it. Maybe reflect on what God's teaching you in your life. And so I had this commitment. I don't know if it was to myself or to God. I feel like it was to God. But I said, I'm going to read the Bible every day and write in this journal and never, you know, I'm going to write the date at the top and not miss a day. So I did that. It went on about 2 years where I never missed reading God's word and I never missed writing in my journal. There were times that, because I was so committed to this, that I laid my head down at night on my pillow, be like, oh no, I forgot to read my Bible and write in my journal. Hop up out of bed. Get out, get on the floor, get on my knees or whatever, and just sit there beside the bed and write in my journal and really quickly read a passage of scripture. Okay, good. Got that done for the day. Then go to sleep. And so I look at that and I question myself, because there were many times my very smart wife would say, what are you doing this for? She would say, I see that you do have a commitment to the Lord, but do you have to be legalistic about it? Is this something you have to do? And so I juggled that in my mind, and I think I have to still wonder, was I committed to a practice? Was I committed to what I thought was the best thing to serve the Lord? Or was I genuinely, out of the overflow of my heart, trying to know God better? And I believe many days I was, and I believe there were some days I probably just did it because I thought it was the most holy thing to do. And you know, and I think that that's one of those things we have to assess. I was committed, but committed to what? You see, commitment is a great sign of delight. If you delight in your wife, if you delight in your husband, if you delight in your friendships, if you delight in your relationships with your children, you will show commitment to them. You know, we must show our affections to God. We can do that through worship, through prayer, through experiencing intimacy with God, by praying alone, by spending time in just undistracted, solid prayer towards the Lord, in fasting, in spending, instead of a lunch, we just take that time aside and feed on God's word. It's been a while since maybe some of us, I know for me, have done that. And I'm preaching to all of us here. These are things God's word says to do. In giving, what is your giving heart? Not did you write your tithe check, but what is your heart? Are you giving because you desire to see God's kingdom advanced, and you see that the church is a way to do that? So all these things we have to consider. What is our commitment? Commitment also requires submission. And this is an interesting thing, because I know in the Bible we hear that passage where, you know, wives submit to your husbands, you know, as Christ Christ has served the church and things like that. But it's not just the wife that commits and submits to the husband. Husband, you submit to your wife in a way that you serve her. Husbands, serve your wife. Wives, serve your husbands. Because this is a way, with submission is a way of saying, I want to serve you. I delight so much in you. I'm so committed to you that I will serve and take care of you. I have a saying for my wife. We say, I'll take care of you. And, you know, and I'll say to, and she'll say back, and I'll take care of you. We take care of each other. And then we're both taken care of, right? I don't have to take care of myself if she's taking care of me. And she doesn't have to take care of herself if I take care of her. And we're both serving. And it's a selfless attitude toward that. So the second thing is, if you delight in God, you will be committed to loving God. The third thing I see here is patience in verse 7. Verse 7 says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Patience. The word patience here is actually an interesting use of the word. I looked it up in the Hebrew, and it was used to mean many different things, as pain and formed and bring forth and to tremble and to travail. But what it's saying is to, no matter what situation is happening in life, no matter what pain, no matter what suffering you may go through, be patient, because God has a more perfect timing than you understand. Be patient for him. And the way that you can show you delight in God is by demonstrating this patience to work on his timing. Be well reconciled. Matthew Henry, a theologian, quotes this. He says, be well reconciled to all that God does and acquiesce in all that he does, and be well satisfied that he will still make all to work for the good to us. Remember we sang that earlier, all things work together for our good, for those who are in Christ Jesus, right? You know, the passage. And so all things are going to work for our good if we're patient in God's timing. Patience is one of the most difficult attributes, I believe, to carry. You know, we never really want to wait anything. I know this is really hard, but do you remember back to the days when, before internet, back when we had to actually mail a letter? And I didn't live too many of these days. I'm not that old. So you actually had to mail a letter to somebody and take a couple days to get a piece of paper to them. Anybody remember that? And you had to wait a little while, didn't you? And some of you might have even been before that. Back when whatever was before mailing. Well, mailing a letter has been around for a long time, so maybe not. But when we got the internet, when it was first dialing up, and it took, we were cool with it, right? It took about 2.5 years to get that computer booted up, but we were like, hey, man, I got the internet. It's dial up. That's cool, though. And then our friend got the AOL, or our friend got the next thing that was a little bit faster, and we're like, man, I wish I had that. So it only takes one day to get your internet to boot it up. And then a couple years later, it was about 15 minutes, and it got faster and faster. And today, I'll tell you what, if my computer is not acting exactly as fast as it said it would when I bought it, I get frustrated. Anybody with me on that one? Amen. Computers can make us frustrated, and we totally lose patience. We totally lose, any idea. We're like, wait a second. That took 7 seconds instead of 2. What's the big deal? Slow down, folks, right? So, you know, you go to a third world country for a little while, and then you'll realize, or just be deployed for a little while, and you'll realize, a lot of you have, you just got to slow down, right? It takes a while, and we know that in the Army. We're good at hurrying up, and then we're not so good at waiting, but we are tested on that a lot. And they also say, never pray for patience. You know why? Because God will put you in a situation where you have to display your patience. So, but it says right here, it says, be patient and wait, basically wait for God. The psalmist is reminding us that yes, and it also talks about the wicked people around us, they may prosper, right? They may succeed, but you don't need to fret, because in God's timing, you will be where you need to be. God will take you where you need to go. Success is not measured by man in God's eyes. Success is measured by what are you doing to serve the Lord. Waiting for the Lord can be tough at times, but it's always worth it. It can be tough at times, but isn't it always worth waiting on the Lord for his timing? Think about your marriage relationship again. For those that are married, for those that want to be married, for those who have experienced marriage, for those of you who delight in or want to delight in your spouse, you realize that it takes a great deal of patience. I think it takes a great deal of patience, especially for the women, to deal with us knuckleheaded men, right? Any amens from the women? Yeah, okay, I heard one or two. The rest of you just wish you had said it. So it takes a lot of patience. I know my wife, and she has to be really patient with me because she'll say something, and I have this problem where if I hear something, I hear the second two-thirds of it. I never hear the beginning of it. If it's a TV show, if it's a conversation, I'm just like, wait, what was the context? And of course, the first part's always the most important, right? Because you're setting up the conversation, and she'll have to repeat it, and she has to deal with me all the time. So I'm like, okay, I focus, and she's patient with me. But there's this song that I really love that has to do with God's perfect timing. It's this line that says, He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. He may not come when you want Him, but He'll be there right on time because He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. Put a little soul to that and you'll get the idea. That's a good song. He may not come when you think He's supposed to. He may not be there exactly when you want, but be patient, persevere, travail. Be ready because He's going to come when He knows it's the right time for His will in your life. Amen? Isaiah 30:18, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, He will rise up and show you compassion. For the Lord is the God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for Him. God's going to bless you when you wait for Him. So when you show this commitment that you delight in the Lord and that you're patient for Him, He will bless you. He will bless your socks off. It may not be the worldly blessings that you may think that the wicked around you are getting, but He will bless you in your life. He will bless you in your life, and it's going to come in His timing. We need to be patient and wait for God. We need to work on His timing, and He will show us what we need. We need to live life by God's timing, not our own. And so when is the last time that you, before making a decision, went to God and asked for what He wanted you to do? Well, I'm a Christian, I know I'm going to church, and you know what? I'm trying to do the right thing in life, so I'm sure God will bless me along the way. Well, maybe, maybe not. God sometimes blesses us in spite of not following Him. Yeah, I get it. But you know what? When you go before the Lord and ask Him for direction in your life, He's going to show you exactly what you should do. People ask me, you know, Danny, are you going to be a chaplain for your career? Maybe. Are you going to be a chaplain for a few years? Maybe. Guess what? I'm going to check in with God and see what He wants me to do. So why don't we all take that? Even if it doesn't make sense, why don't we all just say, okay, God, I don't know what the road is ahead, or maybe I think I know, but what do You want for me? What do You want for my family? So the third thing is, if you delight in God, you will be still, and you will wait patiently for God. You will wait patiently for God. The fourth one I see is hope. And you see that in verse 9. It says at the end of it, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Those who hope in the Lord will inherit blessings. The word hope here means to wait, to expect, to look for, to have a longing, a desire for it. We hope as dependents on God, expectant for Him to work, and as supplicants to Him. We are before Him knowing that God will work through us if we look forward and hope on Him. Are we eagerly looking for the Lord and His works? Are you desiring for Him to work in your life? Do you have that hope? For those of you who have been deployed, you know that one of the greatest feelings in the world is what? Coming home. For those of you who've been deployed, I'm not just talking soldiers, so anybody that's experienced or even a long TDY or even a long school, that reunion is one of the greatest feelings in the world. Does it take time to get back to know the person a little bit? Yes. But when you anticipate that, anybody hope for that when they were coming home on the plane or they were waiting on their husband or wife to come home on the plane? I know I did, and I was so excited, and that anticipation was just so high, that hope I had. Do I have that same hope for God to work in my life? Am I that excited that I can't wait for the day that God shows me something new to do? For the next day? I mean, He can show us new things every day. His mercies are new every day. He shows us new things every day. So when we place our hope in the Lord, it says that we will inherit the land, right? It's not just going to say, put your hope in the Lord and nothing. It says, if you hope in the Lord, you will inherit the land. What does that mean? Does that mean you're going to get your nice plot of land out in the country so you can just raise your cattle and you can do all these fun things and have all that you want? Well, no, not necessarily. Perhaps, if that's what God calls you to do. But He's going to bless you. He's going to bless you his blessings. He's going to shower his mercies and his grace and all of his love on top of you so that you will have a peace that surpasses understanding in your life. You will have joy that no matter what the situation, you can experience God and you can see and delight in him. Philippians 4:19 says this, hint, FBI guys, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory. Not some, not none, but all of your needs according to the riches of glory in Christ Jesus. He will meet all of your needs. Do we believe that? May I tell you, so many times we think he'll meet most of our needs, plenty of our needs, but God will meet all of your needs, not your wants, but your needs. If you delight in God, you will hope for him. Verse 3 tells us that if we delight in the Lord, verse 4 says, if we delight in the Lord, he will give us the desires of our hearts. If you delight in God, you will hope for him. So there's four evidences: trusting, commitment, patience, hope. Evidence that we delight in God are those four things: trust, commitment, patience, and hope. If you trust in the Lord, if you're committed to his ways, if you are waiting on him patiently, and you look forward and hope for his work in your life, that to me says you delight in God. You delight in the Lord. Isaiah 61:10 says, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in robes of his righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns her head like a priest, and a bride adorns herself with jewels. It says, I delight greatly in the Lord, and my soul rejoices for my God. Do you delight greatly in the Lord, and your soul leap for joy because of what he's done in your life? We need to be bold, we need to hold on to the fact that God greatly delights in us. Not only are we to delight in him, but God delights in us. Remember, it says this in 1 John 3:1. It says this in 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. We love God because he first loved us. God delights in us, ladies and gentlemen, children. He delights in us, and we are to delight in him. He delights in us by giving us forgiveness, by providing for our needs, by leading us along this path of life, by protecting us when hard times come, by sustaining us when we need to be sustained and we need to be able to get through the tough time. He's a comforter. He delights in us by his directing our lives, by purifying us, by discipling us, by teaching us, by giving to us, by taking care of our needs, and by calling us to be his sons and his daughters. That's an important task that he's called us to. 1 John 3:1 says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us. What we should be called, children of God, and that is what we are. God satisfies our desires. Psalm 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's satisfactory, guys. That will satisfy your needs. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And finally, our desires can only be fulfilled by God through a relationship with Jesus Christ. It starts with that trust relationship with Jesus Christ. This may not even been applicable to you today if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. That's the most important decision you can ever make in your life. And at the end, we're going to have the music, and we can have a time of invitation. If you need to come down and talk to a chaplain, or you want to talk to one of us afterward, we'd love to talk to you about what it takes to have a love relationship with Jesus Christ and believing that Jesus died for your sins and accepting him so that you can have this life and have it abundantly, so that you can delight in the one who made us, that you can delight in the God who cares about you personally, individually, and everything that you do in your life. So do you delight in the Lord this morning because he delights in you? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning, a chance to hear your word, God, and I know that you delight in me and you delight in us. God, you're not delighting in us based on our actions or based on how holy we think we can be, but because you love us and you've adopted us as children, if we've trusted Jesus to be our Savior and we've realized what you've done for us, the sacrifice for us. But God, I pray that we would act in a way in our lives that we delight in you. Because God, you do give us the desires of our hearts. They are your desires. And so God, as we continue to worship you, as we continue to praise your name throughout this week, and as we sing this song, we give you our hearts, God. We give you our souls. Have your way in our lives, God, and help us to delight in you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.